Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for starting it here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got James, Melissa, and Beth here with you today, and we're joined right now by our friends from the WeatherEye Weather Center. Good morning over there.
Yeah, good morning, you guys.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
Pretty good. How are things going there?
Good, good here. Not a bad weekend, although we do know that got some severe weather going on throughout our country here a little bit. Don't know if we're going to be seeing too much of that kind of weather, but do have some interesting stuff throughout the week here. How's it looking on your end?
Yeah, you know, things are looking quiet today, certainly for us. But yeah, as we get into tomorrow, low pressure system moves up northeast out of Iowa into eastern Wisconsin. Looks like that's going to bring us some rain showers here as we get into our Tuesday. And some of that turning maybe over to some snow before it ends here on Tuesday night. And that certainly ushers in some of those colder temps as well here in the midweek. But in the meantime, breaks of sun and some developing clouds today, 41 for the high. Tonight, cloudy skies, 33. Tuesday, maybe a rain or snow shower early, then just rain shower chances throughout the day, 41 tomorrow. Rain showers could turn over to some snow showers before ending Tuesday night, down to 21. Mid-20s Wednesday, more clouds and sun. Breezy west winds down to 10 Wednesday night. Still looking quiet Thursday and Friday, 30 on Thursday after a low of 21. Partly cloudy skies Thursday night, lower 40s on Friday, and then dipping back upper 20s for high Saturday again. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Always appreciate the updates there, Paul. We'll look forward to talking again tomorrow. You have a great day.
Thanks, and you too.
Best in the business right there, friends at the WeatherEye Weather Center. Appreciate them. Be sure to be here tomorrow at the same time, and they'll join us. Just an update. It does look like the world's largest active volcano is erupting for the first time in 38 years.
Oh, no.
So that has gone into effect.
Okay.
Keep that in mind. And we again, just sending positive feelings over that way and everything. Man.
Yeah.
Going into a couple of interesting stories to kick things off. Of course, we've got Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up in a little bit. Keep that in mind. And we'll kick off the 9 o'clock hour with the kitchens open. Melissa and Beth's cooking show. We'll get into that in just a little bit.
Yeah.
Right now, if you flew over Thanksgiving weekend or flown recently, you may have some strong opinions about this next conversation. Someone polled people on airplane etiquette, and here are five questions and how people answered them. Now, the last time I did just a little bit of homework on this, and the last time we did a conversation like this, it was from the side of the people working in the industry.
Right.
You know, airline attendants and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So this seems like more, it's all from the people, it sounds like.
From the travelers themselves.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So number one, should people in middle seats get both armrests? Only 19% of people who answered said the person in the middle deserves more armrest access than the people on each side. 73% said equal access and 8% said less. That's just cruel.
Less?
The less part, that's just cruel. That seems unnecessarily cruel right there. And there are these few, you know, not a ton of them. There used to be so many more. There's still these, though, agreements that we, you know, get into with strangers in life, you know?
Right.
And it happens. It doesn't happen that often, but there are certain things that we just kind of like. There's a, you know, there's a grace we give each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the armrests are one of these things. It's one of the last bastions of this in society, where we give each other this grace. Like,
or at
hey,
least we should.
You should. Yeah. Right. I don't know who these insane people are of saying that you get less armrests
right.
because you're sitting in the middle. Like I. I'm not sure if you get a vote. I'm not sure.
There are not a lot of perks to sitting in the middle seat on an airline. So, you know, at least give them a little comfort. Come on.
You can get one armrest at least.
Yeah.
Should the person in the window seat have control over the window shade? 45% said yes, complete control. 55% said no. Other people in the row should get a say in whether it's up or down.
You know, you solved that.
That one's a little
it's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
You solve that by traveling with your children, and then you always get the say.
Yes, yes, yes. 100%. I like that. That's a good Beth. I have sat them the window seat many times, and I don't think this has ever come up with anybody else, but I could see this being more of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one. I think you really, that's where you got to talk it out. That's your best bet, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. because having the window open, if somebody wants to see out, you know, like if you're landing or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then if the person that's in by the window wants to sleep and they don't want the sun shining in their eyes, you know, I mean, it's a complicated conversation to have.
I will say this. At the end of the day, the person sitting next to the window gets the say.
Right.
I mean, that seems fair. If you pay, especially if you paid for that particular seat so that you could, because you wanted to have this. I mean, that's if it mattered that much to you, you should have, you know, paid for that type of seat.
And the worst thing you can do is reach over them to try to control it yourself.
Oh my goodness.
Do not do that.
Yeah. That could lead to blows.
we've got so many knucklehead things going on in our friendly skies these days. It absolutely could happen.
But I think to politely ask, you know, could you open it for just a moment? I'd like to see out. That's not a rude thing to ask.
Right.
I think it's really cool that flying has gotten so everyday and so common and everything. It really says something about humanity and how far we've come and what we've accomplished. It never gets old to me. Like, it's still pretty cool. I grew up near O'Hare Airport, and it never got old to me seeing those planes fly off and everything and how busy that place was. And I think flying is really cool. I like flying. I don't look at it as a birthright, though.
Right.
I don't look at it as just because Orville and and the Wright brothers got this whole thing going or whatever. Not that they're the only ones that did, but now we have carte blanche, and it means that the skies are ours now, and we can do whatever we want. And that means whether it's polluting them or treating each other poorly in the skies or any of these things, like all that stuff. Like, just because it's becoming more and more common, more and more people are flying, doesn't mean we lose our class. We lose the way we treat each other.
Right.
Common courtesy.
Yeah.
I am not big on dressing like appropriateness or what have you. I don't like the idea of telling people how to dress. I like outside of like certain area where there's a uniform or something.
Right.
I'm not big on that. I don't agree with that. I think there's a line because I think most people understand, hey, I probably shouldn't go out in public looking like this, or I probably shouldn't do this. I am a human being who is 45 years old. I've lived in this country long enough to know that, you know, what Walmart could look like on any given Monday, you know, or what have you.
Right.
That's one thing. And keep this in mind, too, everybody, for those that don't know, I'm not a churchgoer.
Right.
But the person going to church kind of like dressed completely down. Like, it's one thing if that's all you got. That's a different thing. If you are just dressing down because you don't have any care about what you're doing, you don't care. This respect we used to show things like that we've kind of let go to the wayside. I'm not getting on a soapbox here and saying we all need to do this or anything like that, and we should all be dressing proper and all that stuff. There are plenty of people out there who can't afford, you know, quote unquote, nice clothes,
right,
who do still want to go to, you know, practice their faith.
Mm-hmm.
They should be able to do that. I'm not obviously coming from that background. I'm not saying anything poorly about that. But I do think, again, though, there is this kind of thing, especially like with flying or any of these things. Mm-hmm. Where maybe you can't dress to the nines, but you can act to the nines. You know, how you dress and what your bank account doesn't affect your moral compass, doesn't affect your class, doesn't affect your the way you treat people.
Right.
It shouldn't. And the two have nothing to do with each other.
But unfortunately, we're seeing it in society where people aren't treating each other nicely while they're on the ground. So that carries them through when they're in the air, unfortunately.
And when we're talking about this, for myself at least, when I'm talking about this, I'm not saying everybody's got to be Mr. Rogers.
Right.
I just mean the simpleness of giving each other some grace. It doesn't mean that you've got to exchange like addresses and give each other Christmas cards every year or something.
Well, and it's not just grace, it's respect.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
how many of us say, I want to be respected? Well, to get respect, you have to give respect.
Well said. Is it okay to ask a stranger to switch seats so you can sit with someone? 7% think it's never acceptable. 11% think it's always okay to ask. And everyone else thinks it depends.
Isn't that... Aren't you not supposed to do that, though?
You are not legally... Yeah, legally, you are not supposed to do that.
But if you talk to the flight attendants, you can. Because sometimes if you are unable to buy all of your tickets together, and you're traveling with small children, you can say to the flight attendant, my husband's sitting back there. And you can even try to do that at the ticket desk before you even
That's
get on the plane.
Yeah. Mm.
And say to the ticket agent, here's the situation. Is there any way? And they will usually try to contact the people in the seats close to you to see if they would be okay with it before you even get on the plane.
Hmm. Mm.
That makes sense, because you would think that the flight, what do they call that, the itiner flight roster?
Yes.
Needs to be accurate?
Mm-hmm.
There's a name there. Yeah, there's a name for that. Manifest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Flight manifest.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That happened in a flight that I was on, a short one, where a gentleman asked if he could swap seats with another person. You know, it was nice of them to switch, but then those two talked really loudly throughout the entire flight. Mm. And I was just like, you know, could you have just said no, guy, and been rude and let them stay in different aisles?
For the rest
of us. It would
have
been so much more peaceful.
If you were traveling alone, would you agree to switch seats? Around 80% of us would, as long as the new seat was at least as good as the one we're sitting in. 23% would even do it if the new seat was worse.
Yeah.
We're talking about being
considerate.
Mm-hmm. Considerate to each other and everything. There's a nice stat right there.
Yep. Again, as long as you clear it with a flight attendant so they know.
Yes. And to wrap this up, how much do you want to talk to this stranger next to you on a plane? Only 11% don't want to talk at all. Most people think a little bit's okay, but keep it to a minimum. And 4% of us hope the person talks our ear off the whole flight. These are people who saw Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and were wishing for Dale Griffin to be their best friend. And hasn't Planes, Trains, and Automobiles taught us that you never know what can happen if you make friends with a stranger?
Mm-hmm.
You just
true.
Never know. You might end up becoming friends with John Candy.
Yeah.
It's really cool. That'd be great. That's a really good one right there. I find that those last two kind of encouraging, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see that. It's nice to see that people are still kind of putting themselves out there a little
right.
bit. I was kind of wondering about that. Just not with the pandemic, of course, but just in general, we've been getting detached more and more,
mm-hmm.
and that didn't help anything. So I think that's very encouraging to see stats like that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Are you the type of person that if you're, because I would say 99% of the flying I've done has been alone.
Okay.
I've only flown with people a couple of times, so I'm really used to flying alone. And I'm the kind of person, whether I'm shopping or I'm traveling, whatever it is, I am business. Let's get this done. I've got a list, and I want to get in and out, and I want to be done. When I'm traveling, especially by train,
mm-hmm.
I get here, but once I'm on the train, then I relax.
Right.
Then it's like, all right, cool. I'm good. Now I'm good. Then I loosen up a little. Then I will talk to people. And that's one of my favorite things to do, actually, is you got to read the room, of course. You mm-hmm. don't want to just start talking to somebody that you know does not want to have has no interest in hearing how your voice sounds. Like they do.
Right.
They could live the rest of their life being perfectly fine not knowing how you talk.
Mm-hmm.
There's, for the most part, though, most people, especially if you see somebody else traveling alone, there's a kinship there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I go back to the whole strangers kind of like class to each other or stranger agreements that we have in society all the time. We mm-hmm. do this whenever we come to a stop sign and looking ahead at the other person. Like, you're going to go? Okay, I'll go. You know, that
right.
kind of thing. It's similar to that. And I love those kind of interactions in society. I don't know how long that will last. I don't know, how much, if that's ever going to go away. Maybe it won't. Maybe it'll always be here. But I see less and less of it in society,
yeah.
and I like those interactions. I like that interacting with strangers that we have. I think that it mm-hmm. builds our society stronger.
And I think we need to teach our younger generations how to do that. With devices, they'll sit with their friends and text each other instead of actually using their voices and
talking.
Making eye contact with each other. So
yeah.
I think it's something that we need to instill in them and say it's okay to talk to people.
Mm-hmm. One of your greatest assets you have in life is your conversation skills, mm-hmm. and you build on them throughout life. You tailor them, you tinker with them, you work them, you to the point where, as an adult, hopefully you can carry a conversation with somebody. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly important, conversation skills.
Absolutely.
I think they're one of the more underrated things we got in society, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Mila.
I was just going to say, like you said, James, it's important to read the room. Your conversation with your seatmate shouldn't annoy the rest of the people around you.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Which has happened multiple times to me on planes.
It sounds like it. It sounds like this. That's what this
Remind me never to travel with you, Melissa.
But I do enjoy having a conversation with the person that sits next to me, but I like it to be like the beginning of the flight and the end of the flight.
Mm-hmm.
The flight itself, you are just cordial to each other. You know, can I get out? You know, like if you're in the middle of the row and they're on the end or vice versa, where you just have a cordial exchange. But then the last flight that I was on, once we landed, we were stuck on the tarmac forever. So we actually struck up a conversation and chatted a little bit, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not hoping to make, you know, best buddies with the person next to me on a flight.
Yeah, I think that's pretty, par for the course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We will take a break. We'll come back. We'll do some celebrating with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club right here. It is Beth, Melissa, and James taking you through your morning on WFHR.
Happy, happy birthday, baby.
It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at Misty's Menu. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a good morning from all of us at WFHR. And we're going to dive right into it. We got a list of 3 here. So,
wow.
Beth, I'm going to need you to give me a 1 through 3.
Let's go with 2 this time.
All right. That gives us our qualifier. So we can dive right into the celebrating. And first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Eve Day.
Happy birthday, Eve.
Ooh, happy birthday, Eve.
Eve, we hope you have a fantastic day. Enjoy it. Hope it's a good one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Also want to send a big happy birthday to our good friend around here, Mr. Joe Bachman.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Joe does some great work with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, mm-hmm. of course. We've gotten to talk to him through there. Theater experiences.
Yeah.
Joe is one of those people I just cannot talk to enough. I love talking to Joe. I talk his ear off. And
yeah.
Just a good guy. Very good guy. Doing really good work over there, too. Have a great day, Mr. Bachman.
Yes.
Have a good day.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Enjoy it. And our qualifier today, celebrating a birthday, Sherry Odom.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Sherry.
Birthday, Sherry.
Sherry, we wish you a fantastic day. We hope you enjoy it, and you are our qualifier.
Yay.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Want to thank everybody that got us these birthdays. Thank you so much for doing that. Keep them coming, everybody. Get us more birthdays and anniversaries. Send them to info@WFHR.com or james@WFHR. Like our Facebook page and direct message us that way. Smoke signals, Morse code.
Mm-hmm.
You can yell it at your radio. I don't think that's going to work, but it's a, you know, I want to try.
It's an option.
Yeah.
You know, that's not all options.
If you shout loud enough, maybe we'll still hear you.
It's maybe. Keep them coming to us, everybody. Let's take a look at some celebrity names right now. Karen Gillum is 35. She is Nebula in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. She's Ruby Roundhouse in the Jumanji remake. And the former Doctor Who companion, Amy Pond.
Okay.
She is a very good actress. Interesting about her career. I should mention this, too, because I just like mentioning this. She's from Inverness in the United Kingdom. And I just like saying Inverness. I just one of my favorite like places to say. The role Nebula, she was told by a number of people in the industry, I think even her agent, that she shouldn't do the role. She's a very, very pretty woman.
Mm-hmm.
And with the character Nebula, she's in all makeup. You can't even tell it's her.
Right.
Like, she's completely decked in makeup. You never see her outside of the makeup or anything like that. And so a lot of people were telling her, hey, this Guardians movie is, it's just another Marvel movie. It's not going to do that well. You don't want to be a part of this stuff. it's put her star on a whole different map.
Oh, yeah.
You would think being in Doctor Who would do that, but that only goes so far with that crowd or with the BBC, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between being United Kingdom famous and being world famous.
Mm-hmm.
And what this has done for her and her acting career, it just goes, you got to follow your heart sometimes. You got to follow what you believe in as an artist sometimes. And she did this, and you look what happened for her and what's going to happen. Because she ain't going any way anytime soon.
Right.
But she didn't get she got the Jumanji part in part because of the Marvel stuff and mm-hmm. everything. So even a role like that where you do see her face and everything may not have happened without this particular part.
Right.
And she's very good at what she does. She's a very good actress. I like her. She's good.
Did you get a chance to watch the... Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because I was actually really impressed with that. Just watched it just to watch it. I thought it was cool that they included some stuff that, was important to the storyline, but not making it too important. Like, you could watch, if you've never seen any of the Guardians movies, you probably could still enjoy it.
Right.
And I was really taken away with how, like sweet it was.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be funny. I didn't expect it to be sweet.
Yep.
It was very heartfelt. There were some great parts to it and everything. Trey Songz is 38, professional singer, songwriter.
Okay.
Let's see here. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is 38. She is Nikki on the third season of Fargo. She was Bruce Willis's daughter in the fourth Die Hard movie. And she was in 10 Cloverfield Lane, Sky High, and Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
It's a very thin list here. It's getting thinner and thinner. But one of my greatest influences, one of my favorite human beings walking under the sun, Mr. John Stewart, is 60 today.
Oh, love John Stewart.
Been a big fan of his for an extremely long time, going back to his early stand-up days when he would he did a night at the Improv on A&E, and I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
And he told some I'd never seen anybody in stand-up comedy look so comfortable.
Right.
He was so comfortable on stage. There was a lot of great comics that used to come through that, but something about John just stood out to me. And then I follow him as an entertainer a little bit, and then I see he gets this talk show on MTV, the John Stewart Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it, and it was at the time my favorite talk show ever.
Yeah.
I loved it because his interviewing style. He was so intelligent and so good at the follow-up questions. You could tell he did his homework, but yet it was so casual. It was just so laid back. He would break this person, whoever was in that chair with him, down to where you saw their humanity.
Right.
No matter who it was, no matter what they had been through in life. And then the show gets canceled, and I think, oh, well, we're never going to see him again. Who knows what's going to happen with his career? And then he takes over at The Daily Show.
Yep.
And it cannot be said enough what Jon Stewart and his team over at The Daily Show did for American politics.
Yeah.
Yes.
Imagine where we would be the last 10 years with all the division, with all the tension, everything we've had without your Jon Stewarts, your John Olivers, without those guys. It used to be every once in a while, Johnny Carson would make a political joke here or there in his opening monologue, and that was it. Done. That late night hosts did not talk politics.
Right.
John turned the political game on its head because not only is he arguably the one of the best to do it, I put John Stewart up there with Walter Cronkite, with the Peter Jennings, with the Ted Brokaw, all the guys,
right.
Ted Koppels, all of them I put them up there with because John held everybody accountable. Everybody looks at John Stewart like, oh, he just rips on Republicans and this and that. Not if you watch him.
No.
Not if you watch him. John holds everybody's feet to the
Absolutely.
Fire.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The job of journalism is to be that strong but thin line between the people and the politicians, and to hold everybody accountable, people and politicians. No, not taking sides, just holding these people accountable. We were talking about before about, hey, you were saying during election season you were going to work on this. I noticed it's been months and you haven't even brought it up.
Yep.
Like, John brings that up. John is one of those guys that does that. He doesn't worry about crushing, offending a side or that or anything. He just does the job. What he did and what he sprung off with The Daily Show, with John Oliver's show, and what Sam B was doing, and so many others.
Stephen Colbert.
There's Colbert to a degree, but Stephen kind of was still his career branched off from it. Steve mm-hmm. Carell's career branched off from it. That's not even looking at just the political part of this, but just giving actors an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Michael Che, so many people have gotten the Daily Show has turned into what Saturday Night Live used to be in some ways, where it's a launching pad for people. Mm-hmm. And all that starts with what John's vision of what that show could be.
Yep.
I'm extremely thankful to John Stewart. Mm-hmm. He's also got a great show on Apple now that's he's killing that. He does a really good job with what him and his wife have done in supposed to be retirement, but he's not retired. But they have an animal sanctuary that they run where they take animals that other sanctuaries can't take. Quite awesome. A life.
Yeah.
Matt Cameron is 60, Pearl Jam drummer. Sorry, Melissa, were you going to say something about John Stewart? I didn't mean to cut you off there. Okay. And we'll keep moving. S. Epitha Merkison is 70. Now, you may not know her by name, but I guarantee you see that lady's face and you'll know her. She was Anita Van Buren on Law & Order for many, many years.
Okay.
She's on Chicago Med now. But she's one of those actresses, one of the greatest actresses I've ever seen, I think, especially on TV, if you're just looking at it that way. The great Ed Harris is 72 today.
Oh, wow.
Westworld, really? Radio, Apollo 13, The Firm, The Right Stuff, The Rock, The Abyss. I mean, Ed Harris's IMDb is insane. He's a great actor.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm. Very good actor. The great Paul Schaefer is 73, former Late Show band leader.
Oh, yeah.
Dave's sidekick. Great one. Paul Schaefer got a lot of things that he's done in his career, too.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy Newman is 79. I love L.A. Short people. I have respect for Randy Newman, great singer, songwriter, one of well loved by millions and millions of people throughout the world. I can't handle Randy Newman. I can't.
You can't. Oh, come on.
My dad loves the show Monk. He is a huge fan of the show, Mark. Mm-hmm. It's a great show. It's a really good show. A lot of great actors. Very good show. It holds up. Mm-hmm. Even today, I see little episodes in scenes and stuff, and they're great. You know, mm-hmm. great show. I can't handle the theme song.
Oh, come on.
For me, it is the worst theme song in human history. It is the worst theme song. It literally sounds like he just walked up to the piano and started just talking, and that's what they went with.
Oh.
Like that. And I completely understand. I'm alone on this one. Yeah. I've never met anybody that dislikes Randy Newman.
Oh, come on. Toy Story would not be the same without his music.
Completely agree. Completely agree with you, Beth. And I just can't handle him. I can't do it.
And Major League. The opening of Major League is not the
100%
same.
100%. Completely agree.
Come on.
Completely agree with you. And even, that being said, I can't. He's like my one, like that Aww. One artist or whatever. If I would love to interview him. I would love to meet him. Mm-hmm. I would actually absolutely show him all the respect in the world, but be completely honest. I just can't handle it.
Well, this is one of those things where I have to agree to disagree because I love Randy Newman.
I, you're not alone. I've never met anybody that doesn't like Randy Newman, but yeah. And let's see here. Gary Hart's 88, former senator. Did not have a good presidential run.
Mm-mm. Mm.
It's interesting looking back for our generations, if mm-hmm. you will. Gary Hart was kind of one of the first guys that you saw. Oh, this guy's he's on a comet course for at least get the nod. He's mm-hmm. at least going to get the nod. He may be the next president. And then scandal happens, and he's gone. How quickly he can go away. But political scandals, during a presidential run, Gary Hart's like one of the first memories some of us have of that kind of like, hey, collision course with the president or the nomination, and boom, he's off. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this the other day with Howard Dean. It gets kind of forgotten and everything, but Howard Dean was going to get the nod. He had everything going for him, and he gets excited at a presidential, campaign fundraiser mm-hmm. and everything. And he's like, you know what? We're going to take this. We're going to take it. And and the next morning, his numbers were down by 20%. And now it's like he's just an afterthought. He's just this one of these stories that we use of like, hey, this is what can happen if Rudy Giuliani is maybe the greatest example of this. He didn't just have the Republican nod. People were basically going to give him the presidency. I mean, it was just all set in stone that Rudy was going to be the next president. And then he gets a little full of himself and starts thinking, you know what? I've never liked ferrets. I hate ferrets. I'm going to outlaw ferrets in New York City. What big deal? What harm could that cause, right?
Right.
It was the beginning of the ending of his political career. Like not just running for office, but his political career had ended. It's just these stories that we see of like, oh, you know, it can happen.
It can.
It's crazy.
Okay, but that one in particular speaks to a personality trait of his that obviously has proved his undoing over time.
True.
Whereas the other one making just a loud sound seems extreme when you think about the things that are going on in politics today.
It says a lot about the way we view our politicians.
Mm-hmm.
One more birthday for here. Berry Gordy Jr. is 93. Motown founder, one of the legends. You cannot talk about the history of music without mentioning Berry Gordy Jr.
Yeah.
And one more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Eve Day.
Happy birthday, Eve.
To Joe Bachman.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, Joe.
And a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Sherry Odom.
Happy birthday, everybody. Go get your free piece of pie at Misty's Menu.
Yeah, go get that. Yeah. And when you're after you're done taking in to Melissa's news, head on over to Misty's. Treat yourself. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week. And 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. I like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Getting into the Christmas spirit around here. But poor November. It's not even December yet. and we're already in the Christmas spirit.
But
and
hey,
everything.
We're past Thanksgiving.
We are.
Should Thanksgiving be the last day in November? I mean, after Thanksgiving, like the last week in November is just kind of like, we don't really treat it with any, you know, dude, there's nothing about it. We're just all focused on December 1st. We're all focused on December.
Well, those of us in the church, I'm glad that the first Sunday of Advent was right after Thanksgiving. Because then it gives you an even more excuse, and Advent is about preparation. So listening to the songs is preparing you for Christmas.
Well done, Beth. Well done. Boy, the leaps that you have to make sometimes.
But we got there.
You got there. That's what counts. This next story is an interesting one. When it comes to holiday gift giving, how much would you spend on someone if you'd only been dating for 6 months? It might depend on how hot and heavy things have gotten, but a new poll by dating.com found 7 in 10 of its users would spend exactly zero.
Ooh.
71% said that they wouldn't buy the person a gift unless they'd been dating more than 7 months, which makes this next stat irrelevant too. 38% claim that if they don't get an appropriate gift from the person they've been dating, they'll dump them. 35% said they've done it before. The poll also looked at couples who promise not to buy each other gifts. Has that ever happened to you? 43% of people said that they've agreed to not buy each other gifts before, but 62% of those people bought something anyway and got nothing in return.
And got in trouble.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm not sure about this. I should preface this by saying I have no idea how to date. I have no idea. I'm no good at dating. None of the above. So I don't know. I don't know about that.
I think that gift giving has, you got to also look, okay, so we're talking about dating and gift giving, and then we should also bring into the conversation your love language, because if your love language is giving gifts, well, you're going to naturally do that.
Right.
Then, whether you've been dating for 6 months or 8 months or 3 months, but if it's give me a gift at 6 months or I'm dumping you. What kind of relationship is that?
I don't think that says a lot about the person, less about the gift giver and more about the person, it seems like.
Well, and it depends on where you are in that relationship. You know, 6 months, some people know this is it. This is the one I'm going to be with for the rest of my life. And then in that case, it would make sense to get them a gift. But, you know, this is why I'm glad I'm not dating anymore.
Oh, dating's a horror story. It's a horror story. Just wait. It's a Stephen King novel. Just it hasn't been written yet. That's all dating is. I will say too, and I don't see this really brought up in the article. There are people who are just not very good at gift giving.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not. Yeah. And I don't mean that they don't spend money or they're cheap or anything like that. I mean that they literally don't. You know, they do not know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, you almost have to tell them like, hey, I like this.
Yep.
And, okay, cool. Thank you for the help. That seems like you could lose a really good person over something silly because mm-hmm. they just aren't great at gift giving. Maybe they're a great person or they check all the boxes except this. Like, this seems like who are these people waiting? Like, these are young people. That's it.
Right.
These are people who have not been in the dating world for very long because they've got this bar. Everybody's got to meet or something like that. Like, give it time. Give it time, and you're gonna lower those standards a little bit here. I don't believe anybody in the world should ever settle. There's a difference here between I am joking, of course, but there's a difference of settling and being like, hey, I just don't. Are you alive? Okay, let's make this work. and the idea of like, hey, maybe my bar is a little too high.
Right.
Maybe my expectations are a little insane. You know, this person just met me, and I'm expecting them to give me a rock star gift or something.
I would think that if you're in a serious relationship, even if it's only been 6 months, it's definitely worth a conversation.
Yeah.
Talk about it. Communication is the foundation of a relationship, and a gift-giving time like Christmas is definitely worth having a conversation about.
And let's talk about that. We're calling it gift-giving. We shouldn't be...
not gift-receiving.
Exactly. Oh, and if giving a gift just to receive a gift, then you're giving the gift for the wrong reason.
The wrong purpose, yeah.
It's no different than saying I love you just to hear it back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that never ends. That's not... That doesn't end well. That
and don't give a gift expecting to be thanked for it, because then it really isn't a gift either. You're expecting something in return.
Yep.
If that's what matters to you, then do yourself. Go ahead, go buy a gift, and then give it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
thank yourself for it.
Exactly. Yeah. That makes just as much sense as giving somebody something just to get a thank you back or to get a gift back.
Right. Like, now, if people are kind and think things through, they will give you that thank you, or you might receive a gift in return. But that shouldn't be why you give
the motivating purpose.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't. I mean, I really feel like, because I'm so glad you started this with the way you did, Melissa, with the love language thing. It's mm-hmm. something that I've learned about myself,
mm-hmm.
that I'm a giver. I like to do things for people. Now, I'm not going to necessarily go out and buy the Hope Diamond for somebody, but I like to do things just because, like, if I randomly pick something up while I'm bopping around during the day, and then I give it to said person a little bit later, hopefully that she thinks, oh, I was thinking of her throughout the day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like stuff like that. To me, that, you know, that's just a part of love. It's a part of letting somebody know that you're thinking of them, that you care about them.
Yeah.
But it's also, I could see, I've had times in my life where it's gotten looked at as, oh, he expects material things. He expects, like, no, I'm the exact mm-mm. opposite. The love that I like to receive has nothing to do with material objects. I could care less about any of that. I'm about connection, about conversation, mm-hmm. talking, all these things and stuff. It's hard to learn these things in 6-7 months, though, with somebody. Mm-hmm. So that's why, coming right back to what Melissa hit on, the biggest part of this conversation, I feel, communication.
Yeah.
That everything starts and ends with that. And if you have good communication, you don't have to worry as much about a bad gift to give, because, you know, you talked to the person. You said, hey, I'm a bad gift giver. I'm really bad at this. Please help me.
Yep.
Please.
Yep. Drop obvious hints. Please.
It's also a great opportunity to show some vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that is a great way of building something you can build on, too.
Go ahead,
Beth.
I was just going to say, share your Amazon wish list with me.
That's
so I know which way to go.
There you go. Another thing, since we're talking about new relationships here, mm-hmm. based on this article, if the person says, oh, all right, Christmas is coming, we'll see how good you know me. That is a serious red flag.
Yeah.
And you should pay attention to that, self.
Mm-hmm.
You should have.
Yeah.
And you didn't. But, you know, you're in a better place now. So here we are.
I do think, too, going back to the communication thing, this is those times where when somebody asks, hey, what do you want? Oh, I don't want anything. Oh, I don't need anything. Oh, you don't have to do anything.
It said every mother everywhere, right?
Right, right. It's one of those ones you got to give a little here. You got to, I mean, give them something. Give them something to work with. Otherwise, you know, you can't, especially can't expect, you know, miracles from something like that.
Mm-hmm. No, my mother insisted that we give her a list of at least like 5 things.
Yeah.
Because we weren't going to get all of those things, but it at least gave her an idea of what we were wanting or needing, and she didn't. Because, you know, some of these people that want to give you a gift, they don't see you often.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My dad's been hounded me for a good month because he likes to get his gifts early to be out here. What do the boys want? What do the boys want? And I had to sit down with the boys 3 times. I said, I need you to write a list. They never did. I'm like, okay, Tay. Sit down. Here's the paper. Let's write the list. So that, because
Grandpa wants to know.
Yeah. I mean, all of our grandparents live out of state, hundreds of miles away. So they don't get to see what our boys are into all that. Right. So they need the list to be able
and
to
know.
And
the last thing you want is a bunny costume.
Right.
Yeah. I just wanted the red rifle. I just. Take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun. It's Melissa, Beth, and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a great one out there. 8:54 on the clock. I do want to remind everybody we're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour with the kitchens open. Melissa and Beth's show that all about cooking. They're going to be talking about handling the holidays. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Right now, this number may have gone up over the past week. If you took advantage of a Black Friday deal for a new couch, your old couch may be on the way out, and it's probably been through a lot. You could say that your old couch may need therapy. Which is very difficult for a couch, because, yeah. I mean, a couch getting on top of another couch to, you know, talk about its problems. It's very awkward for the couch.
Yeah.
It's very awkward.
Yeah.
Both couches.
It really is. It really is.
And you need to cover your eyes when that happens.
According to new research, the average sofa lasts 8 years and has, quote, witnessed 311 arguments.
Wow.
Suffered 316 drink spillages.
That's it?
And been the site of 286 makeup sessions.
Mm-hmm.
The average couch also hosts 401 naps, more than 8,500 hours of watching TV, 537 movies, and it will, quote, swallow the remote 346 times.
I feel like I need to go home and wash my couch.
Yeah. On average, people expect to spend $1,200 on their dream couch. Ooh. But if a new couch costs too much, 71% of people would be fine with a used one.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's been through spillages and makeup sessions and all these other things. And it's one of those few items that I still see people picking up off of, like, on the side of the road and everything. Mm-hmm. Some of that stuff is kind of you don't see as much as you used to, but that's still one of those ones I see people, like, you know, they'll come by and pick it up. It's there in the morning and it's gone by the time I'm driving by or something.
Yep. Mm-hmm. When you hear those stats, though, you kind of remember those plastic covers.
Yes.
People used to have on their couches. Mm-hmm. Start to rethink that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that wasn't such a bad idea.
I used to get so bent out of shape going over to my aunt's house because of those those things, and I hated them so much. And Melissa, as soon as I saw this article, it was the first thing I thought of. And I just got a picture.
She has the cleanest couch.
Yes. I've just got a picture of my Aunt Nay in my head just looking at me like, told you. told you.
Was I right or was I right?
Well, and now you can buy the fabric ones that you can take off and then launder and then put back on.
Have you seen those couches where you can, like, set them up? Like, they're just kind of like blocks, sort of, but you can change them any way you want, rearrange them and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a cool one. Like, those seem like they'd be really cool.
Then
I don't know if they're
comfortable. You only have to replace the one that got stained.
Yeah. Just flip the mattress.
There you go.
God, that's a classic. That's a classic kid move too. Like flipping the mattress. I love just flip the cushion. Just you know, Mom will never flip the cushion.
But so many couches don't do that anymore.
No. No, they've made it so much tougher on children to get away with things.
But I remember those. I miss those couches.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't think I ever fooled my mom more than 2 beats when it came to doing something like that. I don't know. She'd walk into the kitchen, into the living room or something like that, and just know, like, something was off, like a sixth sense or something like that. I sense something. I feel something's off. I don't know what you're talking about, Mom.
There's a disturbance in the force.
I didn't do anything. I didn't do nothing. Jill did it. It was Jillian.
The nap of the fabric has moved to the other direction. Yes. Obviously, the cushion was flipped over.
Yes.
I don't think she's alone. I think that a lot of moms, they're good at that stuff.
Oh,
they
don't
know these things. I like this article. I think it's funny and all that. It's one of those ones where I think in my head I'd kind of like to know how they came up with these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think about it, I'm like, I feel like I get 5 seconds into that conversation to fall asleep. Like I love data. I love interesting, you know, I like dissecting these kind of things. This one, though, it just doesn't feel like it's like that. Well, and actually, we came up with the 311 arguments. I don't know. I don't know if that one's going to catch my interest as much. I tell you, though, something that has caught our interest for months right now, and we've been enjoying so very much, and today is the final day of it, Beth.
Yes.
The Great Green Bay Giveaway.
Yes, it's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway. You can get 2 tickets to the January 1st game, Packers versus the Vikings. These are club tickets, so you don't even have to worry about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
You can register at a Dropbox location for your chance to win. Remember, today is the last day, so one name will be drawn from each location on November 30th. Those individuals will receive a $50 gift card from that business and will become qualifiers for the Green Bay Giveaway. Qualifiers will be placed into a hat, and one final winner will be selected for these tickets. So today's your last day to get to these 4 businesses, Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nakusa. 1 registration per person per location. So if you've made it to 3 and you still need to hit that 1, get there today. Registration closes today on the 28th, and our winner will be announced and selected on November 30th, this Wednesday. So be listening to hear who won these tickets.
Keep on listening for that, everybody. And a big thank you to everybody that's already participated.
Yes.
And a big shout out to all these businesses. Buy local, support local, and get your name in the running for this. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Mornings at WFHR.